And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And now for the most powerful hour on radio, here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
This is True News, the End Time Newscast. I'm Rick Wiles. Today is Friday, October 2nd, 2009. 7 months ago this week, Times Square Church Pastor David Wilkerson issued an urgent prophetic warning. His warning spread around the world thanks to the internet and modern communications technology. Major news organizations even mentioned it. Many Christians sent a copy to their pastor. Lots of people talked about it, well, for a couple of days. As days turned to weeks and weeks turned to months, the vast majority of people have forgotten his warning. We live in a world that expects things instantly and forgets things quickly. 7 months, however, is a short span of time since the Holy Spirit startled David Wilkerson with that urgent warning for the world. Let's read the warning again. David Wilkerson wrote on March 7, 2009, "I am compelled by the Holy Spirit to send out an urgent message to all on our mailing list and to friends and to bishops we have met all over the world. An earth-shattering calamity is about to happen. It is going to be so frightening, we are all going to tremble, even the godliest among us. For 10 years, I have been warning about 1,000 fires coming to New York City. It will engulf the whole megaplex, including areas of New Jersey and Connecticut. Major cities all across America will experience riots and blazing fires, such as we saw in Watts, Los Angeles, years ago. There will be riots and fires in cities worldwide. There will be looting, including Times Square, New York City. What we are experiencing now is not a recession, not even a depression. We are under God's wrath. In Psalms 11, it is written, 'If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?' God is judging the raging sins of America and the nations. He is destroying the secular foundations. The prophet Jeremiah pleaded with wicked Israel, 'God is fashioning a calamity against you and devising a plan against you. Oh, turn back, each of you, from your evil way and reform your evil ways and deeds.' But they will say, 'It's hopeless, for we are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of our evil heart.'" That's Jeremiah 18. In Psalms 11, verse 6, David warned, "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, coals of fire, fire burning wind will be the portion of their cup." Why? David answered, "Because the Lord is righteous." This is a righteous judgment, just as in the judgments of Sodom and in Noah's generation. What shall the righteous do? What about God's people? First, I give you a practical word I received for my own direction. If possible, lay in store a 30-day supply of non-perishable food, toiletries, and other essentials. In major cities, grocery stores are emptied in an hour at the sign of an impending disaster. As for our spiritual reaction, we have but two options. This is outlined in Psalms 11. We flee like a bird to a mountain, or as David says, "He fixed his eyes on the Lord, on his throne in heaven, his eyes beholding, his eyelids testing the sons of men. In the Lord I take refuge. I will say to my soul, no need to run, no need to hide. This is God's righteous work. I will behold our Lord on his throne with his eye of tender loving kindness watching over every step I take, trusting that he will deliver his people even through floods, fires, calamities, tests, trials of all kinds. Note, I do not know when these things will come to pass, but I know it is not far off. I have unburdened my soul to you. Do with the message as you choose. God bless and keep you in Christ, David Wilkerson." I must tell you that in recent days the Holy Spirit has brought to my remembrance four prophetic words spoken to me several years ago. The prophetic utterances came to me while I was in prayer. I wrote down what I heard in my spirit. The first two warnings were given to me on September 3rd and September 23rd, 2004. The third and fourth warnings were given to me on October 18 and November 18, 2005. This is what the Lord told me, September 3rd, 2004. The Spirit of the Lord says, great upheaval is coming to the world. Tell the people to run to the ark of safety now. Come quickly to Jesus. My pastors, prophets, and evangelists will not warn the people to repent. I will elevate the watchman who shall blow the trumpet. Mankind has entered into the end of days. My judgment is now upon the wicked nations. Blood, violence, war, plagues, famines, earthquakes, violent weather, and much unrest are now coming to every land. Come quickly to Jesus. Come to Jesus quickly before the doors of the ark are closed. Friday, September 23rd. Tell the people to hearken to my voice. The day is approaching when I will stop speaking to America with my voice. Instead, I will speak to America with my fist. I will raise my hand in righteous indignation against her and smite the land. I will smite the land with calamities and terror and bloodshed and famine. Tell the people to hearken to my voice. October 18, 2005. A great calamity will soon occur. A calamity unlike the world has ever witnessed. The souls, oh the souls, so much suffering, so much death, so much destruction. Pray for the souls of mankind. Call them to the cross, where they will find salvation and mercy. Oh, the souls! Oh, the souls! November 18, 2005. Weep, my son, weep. Weep for the souls of humanity. Great destruction, much death. Weep, weep. Cry over the loss of life. Weep, I say again, weep. The hour of judgment is here. I will shake the foundations of the earth. Well, joining me today to talk about our Heavenly Father's warnings to the USA and the entire world are three men that walk close to God and hear His voice. Vaughn Clark from Glorious Light Ministries, Augusto Perez from The Appearance Ministries, and Nathan Liao from The Watchman's Cry Ministries. Gentlemen, welcome back to True News.
Hey, Rick. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Rick.
Hey, it's good to see you all.
Vaughn, I want to start with Vaughn Clark first, because, Vaughn, you were part of our discussion several weeks ago on September 18th. I literally called you, I think, maybe 3 minutes before the program started. That was the day 2 weeks ago when the Holy Spirit had given my wife, Susan, my son Jeremy's fiance Tiana, and me. We all had dreams on the same night. And all three dreams were interconnected. It had to do with timing, our release, our escape from the coming judgments, the waves that were coming in. And so, Vaughn, you were part of that program, but you got the shortest amount of time. So I want to start with you today and let you comment about what I said in the opening regarding David Wilkerson's warning that he spoke in March, and what the Holy Spirit is putting on you since you were on the program just 2 weeks ago. So you've got an open mic. Go ahead.
Well, you know, for several years, I don't know if any of you all were raised in the country, but where I live, we have wild persimmon trees that grow. And when I was a kid, my dad took me out in the woods, and he told me to pick up this persimmon off the ground. And, you know, there's not anything much prettier than a green persimmon. But if you take a bite of it, it'll turn your head inside out. It's perfect when it's green. It's got a blush on it. It's a nice-looking piece of fruit. But it is so bitter and so sour that you can't, you pucker so much you can't even talk. Well, after the frost hits persimmons, they fall on the ground, and they're black on the outside, and they're mushy, but they are so sweet that the Indians use them for sugar, and deers will fight over them. And God's been speaking to me for years that the fruit of the American church is persimmons, and that until the frost of circumstances and affliction hits the church in this country, that we really are not going to walk in the power or walk in the fruit that God has for us.
That's a good word.
And I know that there's a lot of fear and a lot of dread with a lot of people, and it seems like we're in one ditch or the other. You've got folks in one ditch where they're in absolute denial that God will ever allow anything bad to happen to this country. And the other ditch is that there's absolutely no hope. And I do believe that the judgments that are coming are corrective and are not to absolute destruction. And I really have taken heart. I used to teach Isaiah 6 when I pastored, but it shows the path, the price of the truth. And it was in a time of national crisis that Isaiah sought the Lord like he'd never sought the Lord before. King Uzziah, the leprous king, had died. He was on the public dole. He was an entitled prophet. His money was cut off. He cried out to God. He saw God. He saw the nation. He saw his uncleanness. He saw the uncleanness of the nation. He asked God to purge him. God did, showed him his glory, and then he showed him the price of the truth in Isaiah 6. He said, you're going to have to go out and preach the truth to people, and to folks who will listen, they'll turn, but the folks who won't, they'll harden their heart. And he said, and you're going to preach that message until destruction comes on the cities. But he says, I'm going to preserve a tenth to myself, a tithe to myself in the land for rebuilding. And I believe that we're in times that the foundations have been shaken, but I believe to God they have not been destroyed, and that there is still a righteous root in this country that will rise up.
Nathan?
Yes, sir.
You have on your website a message that you just posted a few days ago at the Watchman's Cry, a very serious and sobering message. Get your house in order. What is the Lord saying to you?
Well, Rick, I recently relocated to Idaho just in the last 2 months, and I'm out in the wilderness now. I'm in the woods. I'm away from people, and I have just been, it's just been me and God. I'm able to just separate myself and hear from him, and since I've been doing that, God has really been just opening up the faucet and pouring in information of what's going to happen and what's coming, and there has been a spirit of travailing that I have been in for the last month. When I go in to pray, I have this travailing, and it's real interesting that word that you just shared about weep for the souls, that's the spirit that God has given me. And when I'm on my knees and I'm seeking him, I said, God, what word do you have for the people? What do I share? And he told me to share, to tell all the people to get their spiritual and their physical houses in order, to the point of, it was a kind of message that he gave to King Hezekiah when he said, Hezekiah, you're going to die, so get your house in order. And the message that he gave me to share was, there's going to be a body count coming, Rick, and it's going to be heartbreaking, it's going to be heart-wrenching, it's going to be horrible and full of grief and anxiety. And I do believe, like Brother Vaughn said, that there's going to be a remnant that's going to survive. However, in the mix of the remnant and in the ashes of the remnant are going to be souls that are not going to make it because they didn't prepare and they didn't heed the call to get their houses in order. And, you know, when you were mentioning that word from Brother Wilkerson, you know, the messengers and the voices of God are God's spies. God gives all of us the same word to share with the people that we come in contact with. And it's real interesting that on March the 7th, when Brother Wilkerson released his urgent warning, when he said, and when he put this warning out, he put it in capital letters, one sentence that said, earth-shattering calamity is about to happen. It's going to be so frightening, we're all going to tremble, even the godliest among us. What's really amazing about that statement is that 1 month before, when he gave me that vision of the Statue of Liberty being decapitated, I placed on my website 1 month previous that sorrow and distress is about to arrive here in America. And when I asked him for the details, he said the distress that's coming is going to test all of us in ways that we never imagined. So it's the same voice that God's speaking through us. You know, we're his vessels, and he wants people to know now that the time for sitting on the sidelines and observing the watchmen of God to see if they're correct in their quote-unquote predictions is past, because the people that are procrastinating are going to be part of that body count, Brother Rick. Right now, there's no more time to wait. We need to. We're either under the shelter of God's wing or we're not. And in order to be under that shelter of God's wing, God said, therefore, come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and then I will receive you into myself, and I will be your Abba Father, and you will be my children. So in order for God to be our Abba Father, we need to come out from among them, and so many people have not come out from among them, Brother Rick. So that's the message and the cry and the travail that God is placing in all of our voices to prepare and to come out from among them.
Augusto Perez, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you?
Well, you know, just listening to these two brethren, what they're saying is just like Nathan was saying, it's the same voice, saying the same thing in different ways to different people that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I was recently up in the Northeast. I took a trip there and ministered, and my way back, I stopped in Philadelphia. And when I was in Philadelphia, I had to switch planes, and it was a long, long, long wait, about two, almost 3 hours. And while I was there, the Spirit of the Lord really came down heavy on me with a heavy, heavy burden. I couldn't shake it. I tried to pray. I just couldn't get rid of it. It wouldn't let me go. Shortly after the plane lifted, about 20 minutes in the air, I sensed that burden lifting. It started lifting from me, and eventually it went away. Now, when I got back home in Florida, where I live, that same burden came back on me again after a few days. But this time, it came back several times more intense, to the point where I was in such heavy agony and travail, the likes of which I have never seen. And I am an intercessor. When God flows through me, I do intercede. And a lot of people in America, a lot of Christians don't know what intercession is. They think it's just praying for Uncle Joe and Aunt Jemima. But the people of God need to begin to let the Lord use them, because there is a tremendous power in intercessory prayer. And so I just allow the Spirit of God to flow through me, and what I felt was such agony, such pain, such devastation, such darkness coming upon this nation. And I heard the cry of the people. I mean, the agony, the lament, the grief, the sorrow. It was so overwhelming that I could barely take it. It doubled me over. I couldn't handle it. And at one point, I could barely breathe. I had never, ever experienced anything like this. And I was so taken back by this event that happened to me that that I wrote a letter to the intercessors. You know, we have a network of prophetic intercessors, and all over the world, in Africa, in Cuba, in different parts of this nation as well. And I told them to please go into prayer, those that know how to pray. You know, I told them, the intercessors, and I told them what I had experienced, that something really horrible was about to happen with a massive loss of life, just like Brother Nathan was mentioning, talking about. I believe the other brother mentioned the same. But anyways, a few days after that, I got a call from my friend Larry Taylor, who lives in Arkansas. He's also an intercessor, and he told me that the Lord has spoken to him and told him that he was going to throw a roadblock to what this thing was about to happen. The enemy was about to cause a massive devastation, a loss of life, but the Lord was going to throw a roadblock because he had heard prayers of his saints.
Amen.
And you know, I felt a witness in my spirit when he said that, and because I had felt a release earlier in the day that the Lord had heard our prayers. And just a few days after that, Rick, I don't know if you've been listening to the news, but they busted a massive ring of terrorists linked to Al-Qaeda that was planning to use... now, this I have heard through the, you know, through the rumors, through rumors and things, and you know, not from your evening news, but although the evening news has reported that they broke it down and they were prepared to make many arrests, but the rumor has that they had dirty nukes already in place, and they were going to explode them all over the United States.
Yes.
Causing massive, massive loss of life. And when I saw that and I heard the news, it just dawned on me that what I had felt, it was from God, and that God had heard our prayer. Now, I'm not saying that it's over. I'm not saying that we're out of the water yet. I'm not saying that at all.
We are in spiritual warfare. We're in spiritual warfare, and the church needs to be militant in its prayer and in its intercession.
Absolutely, because not everything is just God. God is judging America, but, and I believe that no amount of prayer is going to stop that. I believe that, right, it's not going to stop it. But I do believe that God is calling his people to pray and intercede for his bride, the church. There's a lot of good people out there that they have no clue, no idea what is about to happen. They are totally unawares. They are like lamb to the slaughter. And God is raising up the remnant to intercede, just like he raised Esther in the book of Esther. He raised Esther to intercede for his people. I believe God is raising up Esther in this end time, in this last days, to come and intercede, stand in the gap on behalf of his people, his bride, the church, and those that don't know him yet that he wants to bring in. Because there is a massive, massive loss of life that is going to happen. The enemy is going to, he wants to wipe out the elect. He wants to destroy every one of God's children. And if God's people don't listen to the alarm, don't listen to the trumpet sound that many of his servants, like the ones that are here today in the show, and many others, God is raising up. If God's people do not hearken, they are going to pay a dear, dear, steep price. And we need to sound that trumpet like never before. I believe the time has come not just for preparation. I believe we are already past preparation time. I believe we are into the mobilization phase right now. God is mobilizing his people, mobilizing his troops to take their places, to come into alignment and take their places ordained by God himself, and to do what he ordained them to do. And because I believe, Rick, we are in the end of times. God showed it to me. We are in the end of times. This is it. There is no more rehearsal. This is it. This is the final act. And God's people need to sober up, repent, stop playing games, and really seek the Lord with all their hearts and with sincerity and honesty. Because we are it. This is it.
Amen.
It's not a drill. This is the real thing. Vaughn, you mentioned that you don't believe it's to destruction. But this is chastisement. This is judgment.
I don't believe it's to absolute destruction. The reality, and we all know this, is that this country is the last stumbling block to global government. We know that, and we know that we've been sold, you know, on any number of levels. But the reality is that the devil has always overplayed his hand, and this country has a noose around its neck, and that noose is going to begin to tighten. And as both of these brothers have said, especially this brother Augusto, that there is an awakening that is coming. And I've been hearing the word cry out, warn the people, sound like a trumpet, you know, cry out. And I think that there are enormous stumbling blocks for a lot of ministries because in their mindset, that the Holy Spirit is not going to say anything negative. And so the people are unprepared. And there are going to be a lot of prominent preachers that preach to empty buildings because they haven't given the people anything to stand on in the day of adversity.
And we also have to keep in mind, Vaughn, that judgment and chastisement on America or any other nation does not necessarily mean that it is the time of the second coming. In other words, the Lord could judge the USA. He could judge Canada or France, Great Britain, any nation. He could judge that nation. That nation could go through a long period of trouble, of literally just being, on its knees. They could go through.
I know that for 5 years, almost everything will be closed in this country. That in most cities there'll only be one or two stores that are open, and that there'll be ghost towns in different places.
Are you saying within 5 years?
No, for a 5 year period of time when it hits.
For five years.
Malls will be shut up everywhere. There'll just be desolation in different parts of the land. God just this week has been having me intercede and has told me that unless his hand stops the judgment, that a million people will die suddenly. Just this last week, and he's been having me pray. And this same thing that Brother Augusto is talking about, this and Brother Nathan, this travailing, I've got people calling me from all over the country going, I feel like I'm dying. I'm suicidal, and I'm going, it's not you. That is the travail of the Holy Spirit. This is what's hanging over this country. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Spirit and pray until this lifts off of you.
Amen.
This is interesting.
Brother Rick?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
When we had our show earlier in the year about the Statue of Liberty, there was one thing that I failed to mention, and I would like to mention it now.
Go ahead.
When I was praying at that time, asking God, what is this thing that's coming, God said, he gave me my instructions, and it's on my website. People can go back and read that. I don't want to take time on that. But he did say this. He said, I want parents to pray for their children like they have never prayed for their protection before, because here's what's going to happen, and this is what I forgot to mention. Pray that fathers and mothers are not separated from their children. And when God said that, it hit my gut, as Brother Augusto said, you're bent over in pain. And I could not imagine. I said, God, why? What's going to cause children to be separated from their parents? And he said, you tell the parents to pray for their children like they've never prayed before for that event, because that eventuality is going to come, and we are facing that. And it's real, real interesting that we are starting to hear in the news about the swine flu vaccine and how possibly there may be forced inoculations, this whole matter about this whole swine flu story has so many variables and bullet points and things that can happen, and with the revolt and people resisting quarantines, Camp FEMA. I mean, we have this whole scenario rising up right now, and I don't know if what God told me had to do with that or not, but I know this. Something is going to happen to cause children to be separated from their parents. So for the parents that are listening to the show right now and you have your popcorn and it's a scary Friday night true news again, it's after you're done listening, you don't look at your husband and say, well, that was another good one. Your homework is what I'm saying right now. Don't just put this aside and forget it, and in 2 days you don't even remember what I said. The warning right here that you're hearing from this watchman right this very day is that if you do not hold on to the horns of the altar and go into your chamber and your prayer closet, close the door and weep before God on your knees and pray to him, and you plead with him to let his covering be over your family, then you will be one of the statistics. And I'm not saying this casually, Brother Rick. This is a very, very serious thing that's coming, and I say this with intensity and zeal that this is so important right now in this day that we're in.
And something else that you said there, Nathan, you said to the people listening, you know, just don't sit there eating your popcorn and say that that's another scary true news program on a Friday night. Something that has really concerned me for quite some time is I wonder how many people listening to True News have actually changed behavior. The things that they hear on this program, has it changed your behavior? I think that if I could get everybody that listens to True News in one big room and ask for a show of hands, I think the overwhelming, probably 95% of the people would say, oh, yeah, Rick, I believe everything that you've said. I believe all that stuff's going to happen. But I don't think it's going to happen now. Don't think it's going to happen where I live. And that's what worries me, gentlemen. I don't know if I'm concerned about whether this program, after 10 years of broadcasting, have we changed the behavior of people? Are they taking this seriously? Like, this is an urgent cry from the Spirit of God now.
See, this is the problem, Rick, if I may say something here. For so long, the religious people, the religious preachers and false prophets and so forth have been telling people for so long that Jesus Christ is coming in 88, 88 reasons why Jesus Christ is coming in 88, 72 reasons why he's coming in 72, and Y2K, and the people have become dull. Their senses have become dull. They have had it, and they don't want to listen anymore because they have been burned and nothing has happened. It's just the proverbial boy that cried wolf too many times. I believe this is what's happened. And the devil knew. He knew it. He's an expert a schemer. He's an expert planner. He planned this thing this way because he knew what was coming. And right before the real comes, Rick, every time you check history, every time before the real comes, there's always a lie that comes. There's always a false flag that comes in order to stop the real when it comes. It's always been like that. In 3 years ago, the Lord gave me a very sobering warning. He spoke to me as I was about to retire. I was watching the news, and he spoke me through the television. Who says God cannot use anything he wants? He used a donkey, and he used the television to speak to me, and he said, do you know what time it is? And I thought he was just the TV rambling on, you know, like, do you know where your kids are, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. But when I kept listening, I was about to turn it off, I hear the voice say, it's 12:20 a.m., and I turned the TV off, and when I started thinking about it, and I looked at the watch, it was 12:20 a.m. exactly. And the Spirit of the Lord said, do you know what time it is? Go to Ezekiel 12:20 and read through the end. And I read that. I don't have time to go there. I believe we've shared this before. But the Lord tried to get my attention to the time that we are in. Then the next year, I had another experience about the middle of the night where this man came up to me, I believe it was the angel of the Lord, and he came close to my face, he got in my face, and he said, it's time to come into alignment. He said it twice. And you see, people do not understand, like you're saying, Rick, they think this is just another one of those things, another false alarm, and they don't realize that this is the real deal. This is it. All those other times in the past, they were just dress rehearsals. They were just false alarms. This is the real deal. I believe we are about to see the end time events. God has shown me, and I am not at liberty to give the details of what God showed me, but God showed me that we are very close to the end of times. We're going to see things in the heavens that we have never seen before.
Yes.
We're going to see the heavens shaking. God has shown me things in the heavens, Rick, and Nathan, and I can't remember the
Vaughn,
the third
Vaughn.
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 That if I were to share it, people would laugh. But
sure.
We are about to see the signs that Jesus prophesied. I believe that men are going to shake. I believe that the strongest and the bravest of men are going to shake. They're going to die of heart attacks. Things that they're going to see in the heavens, coming on the earth, the nuclear wars and the nuclear bombs are going to start going off. the famine that is going to hit this planet when all these things happen all at the same time. We are just seeing the beginnings right now. And the Spirit of the Lord is pleading with His people and with people in general that do not know Him. Come to me now. Turn to me with all of your heart. Don't postpone this any longer. I will cleanse you. I will forgive you. But you have to turn from your ways. Now. Don't delay this. This is coming all over from everywhere.
Yes.
But the people are not listening because of what I shared before. I don't think it's that the people don't love God. I don't think it's that they don't care. I think it's that they really think this is just one more of those false alarms. This is what I believe.
Also,
this is scripture that I'm turned to here, Brother Augusto, and what I had for this broadcast, and it's in Acts 2:19, and I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoking vapor, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the obvious day of the Lord comes, that great and notable and conspicuous and renowned day, and it shall be that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. I believe that.
I want,
Brother Rick?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I was praying to God yesterday for this broadcast, and I asked Him, just like Brother Vaughn just shared, is there a scripture or a verse that He would like for me to share? And when I had my vision of the Statue of Liberty's head being chopped off, and it was the hand of God that did it with His sword, when I was seeking God, God took me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and I would like to read that real quick. And it starts in verse 39. It says, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For if I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever, if I sharpen my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me." Brother Rick, this judgment is set. It is sure, and it shall arrive. It will not be stopped, and it doesn't matter how many sleeping ones deny it. It's still going to happen. So, conclusion, the people need to seek shelter in God's mercy right now by getting their house in order. Amen.
There's a scripture, Rick, if I may share, that goes along with what I just said before, the scripture that God gave me when He told me it's 12:20 a.m., and He directed me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 12, verse 20 on to verse 28. He says, "The cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be a desolation, and you shall know that I am the Lord." Son of man, what is that proverb that you have heard in the land of Israel saying, "The days are prolonged and every vision fails"? Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, "The days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. For there shall be no more any false vision, nor flattering the nation within the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be delayed. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God." Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he sees is for many days from now, and he prophesies of the times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be delayed any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God."
And what people need to understand is that what the Lord was saying to Israel at that time was, "I have spoken to you, I have warned you countless times over decades and decades,"
mm-hmm,
actually over several generations of the Israeli people. And so God said, now the warnings have come to an end. now the vision shall come to pass. There was a time where God said, this is it. No more warnings, no more prophecies. This is it. And that's what I think, this is where we're at right now. God has been speaking through many men and women for generations. I mean, I have in front of me a stack of prophetic words from people going back to the 1930s, warning the nation, you're getting off the path, you turn, there'll be destruction up ahead. And so God has been long-suffering. He's been reaching out to the nation for many, many years. But I believe he's reached a point now where he said, this is it. Now the judgment is here. I was also thinking about, I think it was April of 2005. I had for several weeks, I could not escape this message. A fireball is coming. And for 5 days on this program, I preached a message, a fireball is coming. And I remember I had moms and grandmothers send me emails and letters where their little children and grandchildren were having dreams of massive fireballs coming through the sky. And it was very eerie how many people had dreams of fireballs, especially children. And then Oral Roberts had a vision in August of 2004. He said, God stopped me at 86 years of age and talked to me and opened up the atmosphere over America and over the earth and let me see and hear something I've never seen or heard in my lifetime. I was walking up the hallway going to the kitchen where my wife was preparing a meal. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God stopped me. And as I stood there, suddenly there was an explosion. And I looked around and I didn't see it, but I heard it. Then God lifted the curtain. Then over America, I heard this explosion so loud that it had to fill the whole area above our nation. Then I saw it. It was an explosion. It reminded me instantly of the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 16. At the beginning of the church, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and all my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And he said, as I stood there looking at this thing that was exploding over America, and in a panoramic view, God let my inner sight see the thing. It was fire. It was cloud. It was vapor. It was smoke. But it was spreading like a big tree. And as I watched it, I wondered what in the world was going on, and then I heard the sound, a sound that made things tremble in the sky and over the earth, and then I saw in my spirit every person in America being stopped. If they were asleep, they were being awakened and catching a glimpse of this thing, whatever it was. And as I spoke and said, is something about to happen to America, O Lord? He said, wait just a minute and watch. As I watched, suddenly this whole thing leapt over America, diffused the whole earth. That was a prophecy that Oral Roberts gave. It's a vision he saw in 2004. And I believe my personal reaction when I heard Oral Roberts tell it for the first time was he saw a fireball. He saw a meteor or an asteroid coming in extremely close, skipping over the atmosphere, over the earth, over the planet, across America, something that literally would make everybody stand still and wonder, has the end come?
Matt, I want to ask the question, and I want to, do you mind if I make a comment on that?
Go ahead.
The question, Brother Augusto, is what scripture was that you were reading? I didn't catch the scripture reference.
Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 20 through 28.
Okay, thank you.
One of the things
that I've been asking people, and, you know, of course they look at me like a cow at a new gate, but I'm going, what is going to come first, judgment or revival? Is it going to be revival famine, pestilence, or the sword? Is revival going to come before judgment? Is it going to come during judgment? Is it going to come after judgment? Because this is the scriptural, this is the historical pattern for these things. And I have been telling people for years and years, we are surely at the end of time, but more surely than that, we're at the end of life as we know it. And right. Everything is going to change. And the scripture that the Lord gave me this last summer was out of Ecclesiastes, and it says it's a time to keep, and it's a time to throw away, a time to gain, and a time to lose. And what I've been asking people is, what are you fasting, and what are you feasting on? And whatever you're fasting, you're going to lose, and whatever you're feasting on is what you'll be full of. And this is the cry of this hour in my heart, is for people to have their lamps full and their wicks trimmed. Because when Jesus does return, according to that parable, it will be at the darkest hour. And the light has, we have to have the light on so that we can find Jesus in the dark.
I want to go back to what we were talking about earlier, discerning whether this is judgment on nations or the second coming. We all know that no one knows when Jesus Christ is coming back, including Jesus Christ. The Father is the only one who knows when he is going to have his Son return. It's the biggest secret in the universe. He hasn't even shared it with his Son. So we don't know when he's returning. But we do know that something is happening in the spirit realm. We know that there are great cataclysmic changes taking place physically, financially, in terms of government. The whole earth is in the throes of some massive change. Just this week, two huge earthquakes, one of them producing a tsunami. So we're seeing these types of cataclysmic events happen again. But we don't know if this is the second coming at this time or whether these are more birth pangs, and we could be going through years of this type of activity. And as Vaughn says, life is going to change. It's going to change forever. It'll never be the same.
If I can share just a moment, Rick.
Yes.
This is in answer to what you're asking. I have been seeking the Lord about this for a long time, but if what he has shown me, and I am not at liberty to share the dates, I have seen dates, and I'm not saying those are dates that have to do with the physical return of the Lord, but the only thing that I know is that what he showed me regarding those dates, he showed me the words, the end of times. And the end of times, I have sought him, but I believe it has to do with the end of everything, the end of life as we know it, the end of this dispensation, the end of everything that we have become accustomed to. And this is something that is deep in my heart, that we are about to be ushered in to the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the threshold between the age of grace, the age of the church, and the millennial reigning or kingdom of Jesus Christ. We are about to enter into the day of the Lord. When the physical return will take place, I don't know. If there's a rapture, when it will take place, I don't know. But I do know of this I am sure, and I'm staking my life and my reputation on it, the Lord showed me the end of times is at hand. And I don't know all that that entails, but I do believe that it has to do with cataclysmic events, the likes of which we have never seen.
Is there a difference between the end of times and the end of time?
Well, the only thing that I have read in Scripture that deals with it, it's in the book of Revelation. I believe it's in chapter 10, when the angel puts one foot on the land and the other on the sea, and he roared and said, "There will be time no more." And that has to do, of course, with the termination of life as we know it, and the beginning of a new era, a new dispensation, if you will, the arrival of the kingdom of God to earth. Now, how long does that take to happen? I don't know. But it's one thing I know, Rick, it's not going to be 20, 30, 50 years. It's not. It might be a few years, but it's not going to be that long. And the dates that the Lord has shown me, all I'm going to say is we better get ready and we better get with it because it's very close.
Well, this is the question I've been personally seeking the Lord for an answer. I've been asking him, are we at the place of the return of your son, or is this judgment on nations and life will go on for some period of time? And the Lord gave me, and I'm looking for it right now, he gave me a scripture that gave me some guidance on it. It was a scripture in the Old Testament talking about that a farmer knows which type of tool to use when harvesting grain. You know, he uses a different tool for each type of crop. And then the scripture said that the Lord gives the farmer wisdom to know the time. And so I felt like the Lord was telling me, just keep seeking me. I'm going to give you wisdom about this so you can understand. The reason I'm asking is if this is, you know, I mean, if the Lord's return is imminent within a couple of years, I mean, well, listen, I mean, I don't know what any of us can do other than just draw close to him and prepare for whatever is about to happen. But if this is, if what we're experiencing is a monumental global shifting of power, of resources, a new paradigm on the earth, then life may go on for, you know, 10, 20, 30 years. We don't know. And what I'm thinking about is, like, if you and I, if any of us, if we were alive in, say we lived in Germany, and we were 30 years old in 1933, and we stayed in Germany, and we went through World War II trapped in Germany, and then the war ended, and Germany's in destruction, and the part that we're living in is East Germany. And so now we're trapped behind the Berlin Wall, behind the Iron Curtain. We can't get out. And the East Germany was not set free until about 1989. Well, if you were 30 years old in 1933, you were 86 years old when East Germany was set free. And so it's vital to discern what's happening.
Brother Rick?
Yes, go ahead. We've got 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, I've often been wondering that exact thing that we're talking about right now. On one hand, are we about to witness the chastisement and judgment of God on America? Example, the first Great Depression started in 29, World War II started in 41, so it was a 15-year period of time that America went through. Well, are we about to witness that again, where we see 5 or 10 years of depression and then another war starts, and then we have more time for the infrastructure of the final beast empire to rise up, or are we at the forefront of the very end of time? Now, in order to answer that, if we are students of prophecy and if we have examined Daniel's prophecies and Revelation's prophecies about the infrastructure and the way the world is going to look geographically in the political regions, we know that it tells us that there's going to be 10 areas of the world in, that it's going to be divided into, i.e., the unions that are coming. European Union, American, North American Union, etc. So if that is the fulfillment of that prophecy, the infrastructure for the 10 regions for the North American Union and all those regions to happen is being built right now, but can it happen overnight? Can it happen in a day is the question. So will it take a fall of the world's economy as we know it to throw us into that new type of paradigm, as you said? So those are questions that are, I believe, very wise to ask, because I think that right now we are seeing the foundations being laid, the asphalt being poured for the regional separation of the world, but how long does it take for that to occur? The European Union started in 55 and they still can't agree on a constitution. So those are honest questions that need to be thrown out there, because humans argue with each other and they lie and they have pushes for power. So how is it going to how was it all going to be laid out? Chavez is saying he's the leader of the South American Union, but is Brazil going to go along with that? Is Argentina going to go along with that? So the infrastructure has to happen, though. And I believe that the engineers of the New World Order and those in the CFR, the Bilderbergs, et cetera, do have their ideal plan, and they have a controlled, engineered implosion of the American dollar in their sights. How long would that take, though? So that's just something I want to throw out. I don't want to take up all the time, but I have been also wondering about that myself. I did have two prophetic dreams in the last month that showed the American dollar is going to crash and food's going to go up 500 to 600%. I know we're short on time. I'll show that on my website or maybe on another show. But, Brother Rick, in the future, this is what I saw. People are not going to be able to go to restaurants to buy food. And in my two visions that I saw, people were at school cafeterias, and that's where they went to eat. But the food was very, very expensive. And as Brother Vaughn said, businesses will be shut down and there will be ghost towns. That goes along with what I saw. There were no restaurants. People had to go to the school to eat, and they were in bread lines.
Life will change. Yeah. We're down to less than 2 minutes. Augusto, take 1 minute, and then Vaughn, you take the last minute.
Well, I saw the same thing. I saw major supermarkets empty. The grocery shelves were empty. They were bare. The food part. There were other items on it. There were silverware and all that, but food, it was gone. I saw also and this is also on our website, I saw a cow that was very, very fat and beautiful. It became very, very skinny until it became skeletal. I had this back in the year 2000. And back then, I mean, the economy was very robust. So the Lord has been showing these things to several people. Now, Brother Vaughn said something that I want to just share about that, because this is also important. He was talking about an outpouring and a revival. And the Lord has also shown me that there's going to be a massive outpouring of His Spirit. I saw golden drops of rain, like transparent, coming, falling down from heaven. And it was like a torrential rain. In another experience I had, I'm going very fast, I saw the glory of the Lord coming at a distance. It was like a cloud. It was beautiful. It was so shining with the glory of God. And as it got closer, I got to peer inside, and it had men coming in horses, angelic beings arrayed for battle. And it was coming very, very fast to where I was. And when I looked down to the people that I had before me, I was on this very high platform in this vision I had. And there were multitudes of people down there. And this is exactly what we're talking about.
Augusto, there's the closing music. Vaughn, we got 1 minute. As the music is playing, I want you to lead the people to the cross.
Lord Jesus, You are the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by You. And Lord God, we just lift up the name of Jesus now. The scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord Jesus Christ, I acknowledge that You are the only begotten Son of God, born of a virgin, crucified for the sins of mankind. Forgive me and receive me into Your kingdom.
Yes, thank You, Father.
In Jesus' name.
We thank these three men for taking time to be on True News. Vaughn Clark, his website is vaughnclark.com. Augusto Perez, TheAppearance.com, and Nathan Leal, WatchmanCry.com. God bless you. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Get ready. He's coming soon.